Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi, and welcome into the 19th Hole Golf Show. My name is Ryan Ballingy. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. You can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. You can find my work at our website, golfnewsnet.com, or on sports.yahoo.com in the Devil Ball Golf Blog. Happy Open Championship Week, everybody. I know it's Wednesday on the eve of the year's third major. We have not even 8 hours until the first tee times start over at the old course at St. Andrews. The excitement is built. It's great, and really looking forward to getting things underway on Thursday morning. Well, here in the States, for us, a tinge after 1 a.m. in the morning. So, can't wait, and I know you're excited too. I want to do a little bit of a preview podcast, not too long, obviously. We don't have a guest for you this week. This time around, there's no Gary Player to help us lead into a major championship. But I did want to get into some conversation about Jordan Spieth and his preparation for the championship, who we like to win this week, why, and all those things. And I know you're probably at the very last minute of making your decisions about your fantasy golf teams, your pools, your daily fantasy lineups, all of those things. So ultimately, this is really more for posterity than anything else, and if you're in the semi-gambling community or just an outright degenerate. But this is also for those of you who actually listen to this podcast, listen to it and not get gambling tips, which is most of you, want to have an honest discussion about this show, this upcoming show. I mean, the Open Championship is a show, but what we expect to see over the next 4 days. And I'm glad that we waited to do this until later on Wednesday, because now we have a clearer picture of what the weather is going to look like over the 4 days of the championship. And that has suddenly become, I think, the story of the championship. I know Jordan Spieth going for the third leg of the Grand Slam is the headline, but right underneath of it is weather. It's weather. So Thursday, things look to be shaping up great. Scoring is good for the most part, a modest breeze, nothing too crazy. But for the most part, during the day, it's expected to be pretty solid, where you could go out there and shoot 64, 63, 65, somewhere in there, and feel like that's a doable round and a good round. Then on Thursday night, it starts to get interesting. It's supposed to rain about an inch in St. Andrews, so that will soften up the golf course considerably for Friday morning. Friday is, in general, supposed to be ugly. Potential for rain most of the day, very windy throughout the day. 20 to 25 mile per hour winds that are pretty constant, pretty fresh, and it could blow up to 40 mile per hour gusts. Could even go beyond that. So all of a sudden, for the guys that go off late on Thursday and start early on Friday, they create an opportunity for themselves, or what the weather will probably have created an opportunity for them, to score well on the golf course while it's soft. The wind may blow, but it probably will not be as difficult in the morning as it is likely to get later in the day, in the afternoon, especially in the evening, where for whatever reason, that's when it seems to be its most dangerous at the Open Championship. So it suddenly seems like the draw favors that late Thursday, early Friday group, which locks out guys like Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Hideki Matsuyama, other guys that are contenders or thought to be contenders for this championship. So all of a sudden, and I think I'm one of those guys, or starting to come around to being one of those guys, a lot of people have soured on the prospect of Spieth winning the third leg of the Grand Slam, all because of what could happen on Friday. And I don't know that that is necessarily the right way to think about it, because then on Saturday, the unfortunate souls that make the cut are going to have to deal with 50 mile per hour wind gusts throughout the day on Saturday. So it's getting even tougher wind-wise on Saturday for the third round. So if you made the cut, regardless of whether you got what we think is the good draw or what we think right now is the bad draw, everybody is going to get it on Saturday. So all of a sudden, it's not necessarily going to mean who's the 36-hole leader or 36-hole contenders, it's going to mean the people that can survive Saturday will put themselves in a position for Sunday, where the forecast calls for about 65-degree temperatures, a little windy, but not really, 5 to 10 miles per hour at worst, and pretty nice conditions. So the first 2 days of the championship are more or less shootout days. So you got to make your hay on Thursday, if you play late in the day, and hope to hang on for the weekend. You got to hope to hang on Saturday, and then you just go for it on Sunday, which should make for a very exciting finish. If you're in the opposite end, you want to make your hay for the first 36 if you've got the late early, and then you've got to hope on Saturday. So you maybe get a couple extra strokes, 3, 4, 5 strokes advantage. But if you don't handle the wind well on Saturday, it really doesn't matter all that much, does it? So, and even more interesting than that is that it sounds like the wind direction that the players have experienced over the first 3 days of championship week is going to be different than what they're going to get over the course of the 4 days of the tournament, which obviously that means for a lot of guys who don't see this course all the time, and even for the European Tour players who might see it once a year for the Dunhill Lakes Championship, they're not really familiar with the way the wind's going to blow. It's probably not fresh in their memory what tends to happen when the wind blows in one direction versus the other. Kind of like with Chambers Bay, but the wind at Chambers Bay was never even close to this level of significance, this level of influence on who wins the championship. So it'll be very interesting to see the scoring out of the gate on Thursday with not much wind, but certainly relevant wind, especially on Friday, because we don't know. We know it's going to be gusty. We don't know what direction it's going to blow or when it will change. And that's the beauty of the championship. You just don't know what the weather will bring. I know Rory McIlroy absolutely hates that, even though he got the great draw last year and won. But that's the nature of this tournament. So does that lock out Jordan Spieth from winning? I don't necessarily think so, and I don't think it locks out Matsuyama or Dustin Johnson or any number of other guys who, going into the week, may have been on the top 15 that we ranked on golfnewsnet.com, or other guys that you might like that just happen to be in that wave. I think that if you're a decent wind player, Spieth is one of those guys, grew up in Texas, lives in Texas, knows how to handle the wind. He can get by. It all of a sudden transforms from Thursday to a let's go get birdies and eagles mentality to let's save par mentality. That's a true U.S. Open mentality. And par is your friend on Friday. Par is really your friend on Saturday. And so for half this championship, it's going to feel like you just all you're trying to do is get on the green. Just get on the green. All you got to do is get on the green. Two putt. You're going to make some three putts, but two putt and just get around. Maybe you sneak in a birdie in there and you get lucky. Great. Maybe even sneaking an eagle. Great. But all you're trying for are pars. And then on Sunday, it's just go get them. And I think Dustin Johnson can do that okay, too. He has great record in the U.S. Open despite the heartbreaks. He has an excellent record in this championship overall. 4 top 14 finishes in, 5 starts, 6 starts in his career. So he knows how to handle the style of golf, whether it gets windy or not. Brant Snedeker is the kind of guy to like, because he handles this championship very well. He's done it that well over the last 3 or 4 years. He had 130 a few years ago for the first 36 holes and then just kind of let it go. Didn't win in, 2013. And I think that goes to show you that he likes this style of golf. But I do think there's going to be a distinct advantage for guys that are on the other side of the draw that might not have to deal with it. They might not have to deal with 40-mile-per-hour winds for 18 holes less than the rest of the field who's going to have to deal with it all day Saturday. I know this is extremely selfish, but I hope that the wind doesn't rule out the possibility of a third leg of a Grand Slam by Friday. By Friday afternoon, that we're all like, well, missed the cut, that's that. I want there to be drama. I want there to be at least the possibility of Jordan Spieth winning this thing, because it deserves that story. If you look at the guys who have had an opportunity to win the third leg of the Grand Slam since Ben Hogan did it in 1953, Arnold Palmer came up a shot shy against Cal Nagel in 1960 at the Old Course. 12 years later, same thing. One shot between Lee Trevino and Jack Nicklaus in 72. And in 2002, the difference was again, a Saturday with incredibly difficult wind, where Tiger Woods shot 81 until this year, his worst ever score as a professional, and that'll cost him a chance at the Grand Slam. So in two of those cases, two of the three that we've had, the chances of the potential Grand Slam were great until the last shot, until the last putt. And I think that's what Spieth deserves. That's what a guy in this position deserves. Woods deserved. So I hope that it comes down to that. That said, I'm less optimistic about Spieth being a factor on Sunday than at any point over the course of this week. But that is not because I doubt his preparation. That's not because I doubt his capacity to learn this golf course. I think he did the right thing in playing the deer. And I would have said that anyway, but whether he won or not, and whether he beat Tom Gillis in the playoff or not, I think he did the right thing because for Jordan Spieth, he has figured out a way to prepare for majors that works for him. He cares more about the mental edge that he needs to have to compete under the major pressure. And so he puts himself into tournaments and situations with the hope, leading into a major, that he can feel that pressure, that he can feel that anxiety, cope with it, deal with it, and hopefully thrive in it. The first two majors of the year, he did that just fine. Got himself into a playoff in Houston, obviously came up short in the end. Jamie Holmes won. You got a sweat in Sunday's final round of the Memorial Tournament. Obviously didn't get into the playoff with David Lingmert and Justin Rose, but he was on the range hitting balls just in case on Sunday afternoon, and that's what you want to feel. You want to feel like you've got to perform under pressure, and he did just that. He turned in a god-awful first round at the Deer, 71 on the course, where really a par should be 67, and then played the final 54 holes in 20 under par, including 12 very terrible holes by his standard on Sunday before he kicked himself in the butt and decided to win this thing. I think that he accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. He played pressure golf, and he won, and he proved to himself that he still got that edge to get it done, even if it's against a 46, now actually 47-year-old journeyman who had never won on the PGA Tour. That still means something. Fourth win of the year. Guy could be number one in the world if he finishes in the top six this week. Number one in the world. One of the amazing rides from, what, 3 years ago? Where he was 800th or something in the world when he turned pro. Just fantastic stuff. And I think that goes to show you the kind of guy Spieth is in terms of how he handles championship golf, how he handles tournament golf. He has an incredible ability to remain disciplined and optimistic when things aren't going according to plan. You need to be an optimist in order to win championship golf. Because if you're a pessimist and you don't expect latently to be able to pull yourself out of whatever rut you're in, so obviously that's optimism plus ego, then you're never going to be all that great. You just won't be. And I think that's why Rory McIlroy is a more streaky player, because when he believes, he's unbeatable. When he believes and executes, it's over before it starts. Spieth always believes. He always believes. Even when he comes out of the gates like crap at Deer, he did it at Heritage where he opened poorly and then shot 62 the next day to get into it. Obviously, the wear and tear of winning your first major got to him eventually, didn't finish the job at Harbortown, but it went to show you that when motivated, and which is almost always, Spieth will do the job. He'll find a way to get it done. He's not streaky about it, and it helps that he is the best putter in the world. He can get his way around pretty much every course on the PGA Tour with impunity, as long as he keeps it between trees. In fairways, light rough, stuff like that. He can get from tee to green just fine. If you can give him a putt inside 25 feet, he's got a good chance to make it. Better than his peers. Leads to 2 birdies per round. Did it at Augusta National. Did it at the U.S. Open. It's because he can make long putts. Because he can feel comfortable getting up and down from 20 feet. He can do it. He just believes it's going to go in the hole. So when faced with what sounds like it's going to be nasty weather on Friday, I don't necessarily discount Jordan Spieth. He found a way to work a driving iron into the bag. He could hit that thing just along the freaking ground and stay out of the wind and maybe pull that off without having to deal too much with what's above him swirling in the wind. Maybe he does that. I'm sure he's thought of that potential strategy. Set Cam McCormick ahead of him to learn the golf course a little bit, his coach. He's worked with local caddies. He's worked with other caddies to get a better sense of local knowledge, to know this place. You are not going to know St. Andrews in 3 days. You just are not, really, at 2.5. You're not going to learn this golf course that quickly. But that means that there are plenty of other people who have never been in an open at St. Andrews that are then disqualified. And I don't think that's the case. I don't think you need to spend 10 years figuring out this golf course before you feel like you can win on it. It's just the way that it is. You got to be able to think on your feet, see what's in front of you, and react accordingly. And I think Jordan Spieth does that just as well as Tiger Woods did. And it is that confidence to adjust on the fly that is what distinguishes him. It's why he wins, and it's why he's in the head of his competitors. And you could hear it in the way that they talk about him going into this championship. You start to get the vibe that he's in their head. He is potentially intimidating, and not in the way that Woods was intimidating, more intense and in your face, but, and Spieth has intensity, but a different one. But that when he's on the board, and when he's in it with 9, 10, 12 holes to go, you just get the feeling he's going to win. They do, and he does, and we do at home. And when you all think a conclusion is going to work out a certain way, it tends to manifest itself. So if Spieth can figure out a way to handle the wind, and I believe that he can, and I believe other players can too that are on that side of the draw. Dustin Johnson hits it far enough to be able to deal with the wind. So does Ricky Fowler. But if you're of that mindset that you can figure it out, you got the game to do it, then you'll figure it out. It'll be okay. He may not shoot, may not follow a potential 67 on Thursday with 67 on Friday. If he does, he's going to win going away. But he may follow it with 73, which puts him in position. And that's really all he wants. Wants to be in position. That's what his goal should be after 36 holes. And then after 54 holes, it should be to play better than everybody else in the nastiness that is Saturday and set yourself up for an easy win. Will that happen? I don't know. But I think you have to look at a few guys other than Spieth as legitimate guys to win here. I think you got to like Dustin Johnson. I know he is not the brightest crayon in the box, but that helps. Because he can see the shot, hit the shot, and not worry about it. The wind somewhat mitigates the fact that he's not a good putter at all. He is terrible from outside of 25 feet. He's 174th on the PGA Tour in three-putt avoidance from outside 25 feet. So he's not good from distance putting. But he also has the opportunity, with the wind helping him in spots, to drive several par fours and get in every par five and two, which creates scoring opportunities, like it or not. Eagle putts usually lead to short birdie putts. So, that may help him overcome the fact that he really can't putt at all. Anyone can putt from 4 feet. Straight in from 4 feet. So, if Johnson gets those putts, he's going to make them. Just the way it is. I think Ricky Fowler is long enough and playing with enough confidence that he can do this. He's probably the more legitimate threat to Spieth than Dustin Johnson is. Winning the Scottish Open is a big deal. Last five Open Championship winners played the Scottish Open the week before. He's won twice this season now in pretty darn good fields. Obviously, the Players was stacked and did it with a finish that you just couldn't believe and never seen before in the 40-year history of the tournament. And then you have a great finish under pressure and a stacked board, again, stacked board on Sunday at Gullen and wins. Big, big win. So I really like his chances this week. Adam Scott is a guy I really like this week. And I say that because he's been in the top five in the last three Open Championships. Yes, he gave one away to Ernie Els. I understand that. But he knows how to play this championship. And with Steve Williams back in the bag, getting the band together, they finished T4 at the U.S. Open. Not bad. Not bad. So I like him a lot. I've hawked a couple of different underdogs, so to speak, over the last several days. I've done a whole bunch of radio interviews, and so if you've heard me on the radio elsewhere, you're probably going to hear the same thing again. But I like two somewhat underdog guys. That's Francesco Molinari, who's been in the top 25 in two of his last three PGA Tour starts, including T4, I think it was. Maybe it was T3 at Memorial. And He has top 15 finishes in the last 2 years in the Open. He was also in contention early last year and then kind of nuked one out of bounds, and that was that. But still, top 15 finishes last 2 years. The other guy that's a semi-long shot is Tommy Fleetwood, just short of 25. Really good English player. He's been 26 under par in his last four competitive rounds of the Old Course. So he played in the Dunhill Links Championship each of the last 2 years, played in the fall. And it's kind of like the Pebble Beach event of the PGA Tour, where you get to play three links courses and then you come back to St. Andrews. So if you make the cut, you play St. Andrews twice. So in his last four rounds there, he's 26 under. I think that's pretty darn good. I think that's worth consideration, especially when you look at a T11 finish that he had at the Scottish Open in relatively benign conditions, and he had a T21 finish at the Irish Open at Royal Portrush, Royal County Down, excuse me, and he did that in really windy, nasty, difficult conditions. So he's got the capacity to handle it. Very, very good player. Having his best season ever. So I think he may be ready for a step up in class on the stage. Some guys that are between sort of underdog and top of the class. Shane Lowry, who continues to excel in big stages. Same thing. Great work at the Scottish Open. Modest work at the Irish Open. I think you also have to like Brant Snedeker. For whatever we've talked about, Snedeker had a great chance in this championship a couple times. Gotta like him. He's a good putter. And he seems to roll well on slow greens. Think about how he handled Pebble Beach this year. That is not a place where greens typically get fast in February. So he knows how to putt and knows how to deal with it. I like his chances too. I like Martin Keimer's chances a little bit. He plays well on this golf course. He showed some resiliency in the wind at the French Open. His year has been terrible. I mean, by most every measure, it's terrible. He missed the cut in both major championships, and badly. He had a good start to the year, where he typically plays well in the Middle East, and then just everywhere. That doesn't mean he's necessarily going to win, but I think he deserves your consideration if you're putting together a pool at the last minute. And what kind of hot take podcast would this be if we don't address Tiger Woods? Can he win? Can he contend? Can he be a relevant part of the Open Championship? After looking pretty good at the Masters, a course that he certainly understands as a four-time champion, and looking absolutely awful at Chambers Bay. I think he can do well, and I think I tend to lean on doing well because of the Masters reason. He's won twice here before, probably played the greatest major championship, at least the greatest Open ever played in 2000. He didn't hit a bunker any of the 112 four times, so that means he missed 448 bunkers en route to a huge win, 19 under par, and completed the career Grand Slam. Did it again in 2005, not quite as efficient, but hit four bunkers, just four bunkers, in two major championships at St. Andrews. So he's got the local knowledge. He can hit the fade to put himself in position off the tee for a more aggressive line with the right side of most holes. He can hit past the trouble. He's still long enough to do that. So I think those things work out pretty well for him. And add to the top of the optimistic heap that he really doesn't have to use any of his short game. It's pretty simplistic. Get the ball on the ground and run. You can hit four iron, you can hit putter, whatever you want to do. But there's not a whole lot of art form to hitting wedge shots at this championship. That's not what's recommended. That's not what's necessary. So I wouldn't be surprised if he did well. And you can tell when a guy like Tiger, you can tell when Tiger Woods might do well when Hank Haney says he might do well. And Hank Haney's saying he could do well. So I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm saying he might be entertaining come this weekend. That'll do it for us on this week's show. Next week on the program, we'll go over top to bottom what happened to the Open Championship at St. Andrews. Maybe or maybe not, we have a potential Grand Slam on our hands at Whistling Straits. We'll talk about that. Win or lose for Jordan Spieth. And we'll recap whoever wins and why they won and what it means for the future of the sport. Till then, I'm Ryan Balanchine saying thanks for listening to the show. Please give us a 5-star review on iTunes if you'd be so kind. And if you have questions to ask us, you can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, or follow me on Twitter, @RyanBalanchine. Till next week, after the Open Championship, we'll catch you then.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.